B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, February 12th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports news from Sarah over at the news desk. Plus, last weekend played host to the Overwatch League's community countdown, or the preseason that wasn't a preseason, and people are actually kind of upset about it. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
BioWare has released some details about what endgame content will be available when Anthem releases later this month. In addition to being able to play the game at harder difficulty levels, players will also be able to take on legendary contracts. There will be three strongholds to complete as well as daily, weekly, and monthly challenges.
So...
Great.
The standard MMO fare.
Yeah. They're already laying out their weekly chores for everyone to get on and feel like they have to do every single day.
Yeah. So I see three dungeons, basically.
I see three hard passes dungeons. From me.
Yeah. People are complaining that this is a little bit light, I think, for endgame content.
Oh, yeah. It's disappointing. I mean, here's the thing is that, like, I MMO developers or game developers that know that they're trying to develop for a long-term experience really need to come at this with a game plan. Like, they need to game the whole thing out, the whole strategy out.
Well, what's most frustrating about it is that, you know, EA's trying to build this as, like, the next new big experience, but whether it's your gameplay or now your endgame content, we've seen all of this before.
There's nothing about my experience in Anthem that will warrant that it's big. It was very restrictive.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, that was a demo. Yeah. So, you know, it may not...
I try to gauge it, but I don't even see, as you were saying, the gaming out of everything, start, middle, and end. I'm not even seeing where the backbone of that could even be.
Yeah.
Despite the cancellation of Project Ragtag, EA has confirmed that Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is indeed still coming out. It'll be releasing this fall alongside their slate of sports titles. Fallen Order will put you in the robes of a Padawan who has survived Order 66 and is on the run. The title's being worked on by Respawn, who just released Apex Legends.
Okay, listen, I understand that they had a hit with Apex Legends, but, like, let's not... look to Respawn to fix everything.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. If in 2020, they'll just cancel this game too.
If Amy Hennig couldn't bring her talents to Ragtag, or at least not up to EA's standard, whatever that's supposed to mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like let's not hope that Respawn is going to be able to come in and fill that gap. That's a talented studio, but I don't know that they're the answer to everyone's
and
problem.
On top of that, I'm just ready for just going back to the more original Star Wars games. We used to have, like, leave the OT and leave the extended trilogy, just like work on stuff afterwards. You have a whole new canvas now to work with to create and fill in lore. Like, I don't know.
Why don't they let BioWare go back to KOTOR? Like, why not?
Exactly.
Why not? What do they have to lose at this
point? Exactly. I wish.
Lawmakers from Pennsylvania have proposed a bill that would add a 10% excise tax on violent video games, using the money to go to a fund for enhancing security measures at schools. It should be noted that this sin tax is targeted specifically on video games with ratings of mature or adults only. Surprising no one, the ESA has expressed their deep disapproval of this bill.
This is incredibly stupid.
This is really dumb.
The rest is annoying garbage.
I don't know what the two things have to do with one another. If you want to...
you know, fund your school's private arsenal, I guess do that on your own dime.
But that's just...
Don't tax my video games to be able to do that. I don't agree with that.
But not just that. That's the scary part, is that there's still this conflation of violent video games and, you know, school shootings.
Yes.
Which, you know, that's...
One does not have anything to do with the other, so don't tax my hobby.
That's the thing, is it's a passive acknowledgement that one does link to the other.
Exactly.
That's why it's a problem.
Exactly. And I totally agree with that, and this is completely nonsense.
Sony has decided to shuffle their executives around with PlayStation. The announcement was made that longtime PlayStation executive Jim Ryan has been promoted to SIE's president and CEO. This decision comes with the expectation of growth, as Sony has acknowledged that their video game division is their largest business when it comes to sales and operating income.
Okay.
I mean, good for Sony, cool. I guess. Jim Ryan, you're happy. Yeah. They're doubling down on the AAA model. That's an interesting call in the modern... landscape.
We'll see what it gets them. I think that this next generation of games and hardware is going to be really interesting, because the monopoly of the big three is starting to kind of wear down.
Like, yeah, it's wavering.
Yeah, it is. And I'm going to be really interested to see how they weather that.
Despite being just another battle royale, Apex Legends has made its mark. In just under a week, the free-to-play game has amassed over 25 million players, with 2 million concurrent during peak hours on its first weekend. Respawn has hinted at potential Valentine's Day-themed cosmetics and the start of Season 1 in March.
Listen, it's just fun.
I've honestly been playing it more than I expected to.
It's just fun.
Like, I caught myself being like, oh man, do I actually like this more than I thought I did?
I fell into that camp too, Robbie.
No.
You go into it kind of really skeptical because it's an EA title, and then you're like, oh wait, I actually like it?
Not even skeptical, because I played it, and even watching Norris, I'm like, yeah, it's a fine game. It's not for me. And then I catch myself thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing, is that, like, this really could end up eating into a big chunk of Fortnite's business.
You know what? Good.
Something needs to. Competition's always good. But this is, you know, this is a game that anyone who plays Fortnite is going to have an interest in this. It doesn't overlap 100%, but there is some overlap. I think that this really kills Blackout Mode,
though. I was just about to say
this. This really hurts. Blackout mode's over. Yeah, like, Call of Duty has no answer for this.
No.
And in an opposite direction, H1Z1 Battle Royale has had an update, which includes a non-Battle Royale game mode called FFA Deathmatch. 50 players are placed in a combat zone with instant respawns, and the first player to 25 kills wins.
Why?
The update also includes ranked leaderboards and a new battle pass. Look out for the update on February 21st.
All right, for all 15 of y'all still playing.
Are they going to be able to get
50?
Yeah, are they going to be able to get at least 50 to populate, beyond the first week?
I just love that, like, this is where we're at. That all these years of the deathmatches turning into battle royales, now it's starting to shift back the other way.
Yeah.
We're going to get the Fortnite deathmatch coming up soon.
You know what? It's going to go full circle, and we're all just going to go back to arcades.
Wow. I love it.
Yeah.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. One of the most anticipated games in a long time is Hideo Kojima's Death Stranding. It's about to start to make some noise. While we know very little about it, apparently some people have gotten to play it.
Yeah, specifically Jordan Vogt Roberts, who's working on the movie. I don't know. I have no new information about the movie. I'm sorry.
For those that are listening in syndication, this show is based in Detroit. Jordan Vogt Roberts is also a fellow Detroiter.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Call us.
So, yeah, please get on the phone with us. The game is apparently playable start to finish and is currently in polishing mode, but Jordan described the game as, quote, a miracle. Exactly, he said, the world is next level immaculate. It's like freebasing, pure Kojima and Shinkawa. Remember when Fury Road blew you away but also made you ask, WTF, how does this miracle exist? You are not ready.
Listen, okay. That is such a glowing remark from somebody about it, because Fury Road is such a special part of modern cinema because it's not supposed to work.
Well, yeah, because everyone went, ha, Mad Max?
Yeah,
really?
It is not.
And then they watched it and they were like, oh, whoa.
Yeah. And that's the thing. So
it was something special. Fury Road was great.
It was great.
It was awesome.
And the thing is that when I hear something like this about Death Stranding, which is a game that nobody knows anything about and yet it's finished, basically, I have to play this.
Oh yeah!
Right. At this point,
it is one of those things where, like, whenever you hear such glowing praise of something, you're always like a little bit of, Really? Like, there's a little bit of skepticism. Like, interesting. We'll see.
I love the quote. It's like freebasing pure Kojima and Shinkawa.
Yeah,
that's quite a sentence.
Because here's what I love about that is that for the years that Hideo Kojima was flying the Kojima Productions flag under Konami, he always felt very reined in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Metal Gear Solid is a weird series, but you always knew that
it could
get so much weirder. And I feel like that's what this is. Like, this is free reign. Do whatever you want. You have all of the budget that you need.
You have carte blanche.
Yeah, exactly. And I really think that this is going to be bizarre. I think it's going to be divisive. Well, I think that there's going to be 50% of the people that play it don't get it at all. And then the other half of the people that get it are, it's going to be like Evangelion, where they're like, yeah, I know what he was getting at, when they have no idea what he was getting at.
You're like, no, you don't. Nobody knows.
Norman Reedus also got to play it. He says it's unlike anything he's ever seen in gaming. It's a very positive game, but also scary and depressing. It's about bringing people together.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like life.
This is like Neon Genesis Evangelion in video game.
Yeah, form. I mean, we've heard that, you know, he was experimenting with the carrot versus the stick.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they mean by bringing people together.
No, he wanted to give him the rope.
Or the rope.
The rope.
I'm sorry, I thought it was the carrot.
Yeah, well, listen, we want to hear from you. How excited are you for Death Stranding? I'm at the point where I almost can't contain it. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, people are upset over how players treated the Overwatch League community countdown. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll check in with Sarah over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
What do Mickey Mouse and Dota have in common?
Esports news is next here on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, last weekend saw the quote-unquote preseason for OWL, and man, was it a mess. We'll give you all the latest coming up in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get an esports gaming update.
Oh my God! It's over! It's over! He did it!
Ready for the dive! Into the
disaster! Oh, and another one! Oh, the third! What is this?
Esports gaming update with Sarah Skopic.
It's a small world after all, at least with Disney and Esports teaming up. One of the two remaining Dota majors is being hosted by Disneyland Paris. It should be noted that Disney is no stranger to Esports, having hosted OWL and Injustice 2 finals on their paid channel.
Hang on.
I want to go to Disneyland Paris so bad.
Hold on. I did not realize Euro Disney was still a thing.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Disneyland Paris is going very strong.
Because nobody went for like the first 7 years.
Yeah, it's a thing, man.
I have to confess, I don't know that much. I refuse to call it Disneyland Paris because that was just an attempt to rebrand the disaster that was Euro Disney.
Fair enough. I prefer
to remember the disaster that was Euro Disney. So congratulations to Dota 2 doing something at Euro Disney.
Something else is a big finals in France as well.
League of Legends.
Yeah, we have to go to Paris now.
I don't disagree. I think we definitely should go to Paris. I'm excited.
And go to Euro Disney?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
If you're going to Paris, you
I mean,
might
why
as well.
Not? Yeah, sure.
I didn't.
Despite the game being nearly 10 years old, Riot certainly isn't hurting for viewership with League of Legends. Numbers coming from Twitch show that more people are tuning in than last year for the third straight week. These numbers apply to both North America's LCS region as well as European LEC region. While While LCS was up about 4,000 average viewers in its second weekend, the LEC region was up a whopping 28,000 average concurrent viewers.
Wow.
That's what happens when you have a good year at Worlds.
Listen, Joe, what's going on? Is that just the one? What was the one team that did well?
Fnatic.
Thank you. Is it just Fnatic?
Well, I don't think so, because Fnatic is playing awful this year.
Yeah.
But I think it's two things. It's the franchise model moving in. European League of Legends being looked at as a little bit more legitimate, I think, for both of those reasons. I just think overall interest in League of Legends seems to be up this year. The meta isn't quite so broken. The development isn't quite so bad. It's a better year for League this year.
Much of the Chinese industry has been in standby mode for the Lunar New Year. But just before that, the Chinese Ministry of Human Resources and Social Security officially listed two esports-related professions. Those are esports professional and esports organizer. Although their understanding of the space doesn't seem to be the best. One of the main roles of an esports professional, according to them, is, quote, account boosting. A practice which is banned in almost every major esports.
Come on.
I know. Seems like they're pretty tuned into what's going on.
China.
Either China is ridiculously stupid, or they actually know exactly.
That's what I was thinking.
Like, either that, or they're just being super transparent with it. Like, screw it. We're just going to embrace it now.
90% of the people on Blizzard's little tracker for disciplinary actions is account boosting.
Oh my God. If China's just straight up like, no, if you want to be an esports professional, you better be ready to boost some accounts. Like, that's what you're going to do.
Listen, a lot of things are making sense now, okay?
Yeah.
Like, all of those people getting busted for it. Mm-hmm. Now maybe we know who's encouraging
it. Wasn't there an article a while back about how, like, 99% of all accounts banned in PUBG came out of China?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that a thing that happened?
Yeah.
Maybe right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are we connecting dots here?
Maybe.
Formula One bosses are now saying that in the next decade, the worlds of esports and Formula One will overlap. F1's head of marketing, Ellie Norman, was asked if a sim racer could find themselves in the driver's seat of an F1 race within the next 10 years, and she responded that it could happen within that time frame.
Haven't we already seen it?
Well, we've already seen somebody get beat.
Well, I mean, not in a Formula One race. It was a former Formula One guy. I'll give you that. But
it was in a Formula One car, right? Like, were they driving Formula One cars, or was it?
I don't think it was Formula One. I think it was a different format.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But the point is, I mean, still top tier racer,
big fast car.
Yeah, big fast car, exactly. But yeah, if we're getting driving sims to that point, yeah, eventually someone's going to be able to translate
train on this type of stuff.
We knew that. Professional drivers would train on this kind of stuff. I think the only difference, because of how realistic games and sims are these days, I think really the only difference we're looking at is the physical G-forces that are put on your body as you're put behind the wheel.
Well, and simulations to prepare you for anything are nothing new. They do it in the Army, they do it in NASA, they do it everywhere.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Just days after its release, Apex Legends took over the spotlight by hosting a major tournament. Respawn Entertainment partnered up with Twitch Rivals to host a $200,000 tournament over a two-weekend period. Popular streamers like Dr. Disrespect, Disguised Toast, and Shroud are competing. All in all, 48 Twitch streamers are participating in the tournament. The event got underway last weekend and will wrap up this weekend.
This is really smart. I mean,
super smart, but this is also what you can do when you got EA money.
This is true.
Get your streaming personalities
super fast.
Yeah. I mean, because this has been like in the matter of 2 weeks.
Yeah.
25 million players.
Yeah. It's ridiculous the heights that this game has climbed. And you know what? You've got a good point. When you've got EA behind it, the resources are a little bit more at your disposal. I just want to point out, though, that it took Fortnite how long to start getting tournaments together? Get organized? And Apex is right there. I mean, it's like they really thought this whole thing through, and it came out as a whole baked product. I have to admit, that's very impressive.
Yeah, it is.
A Taiwanese man was arrested for selling over 6,000 fake amiibo cards for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Unacceptable!
The cards were selling about 50 cents each, and they did work. When used, the fake cards made your Switch believe you had the actual amiibos.
Wow.
Dang.
I mean, yeah, when I first heard the story, I thought, he was selling, fake amiibo cards that didn't do anything. He was just scamming people.
But they worked.
No, they do work.
That's crazy.
He figured out the backbone of Nintendo's NFC architecture.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
That's, not good.
Well, no, for Nintendo, that's not good. Yeah,
it's also kind of par for the course for Nintendo.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah.
PUBG Europe League has been delayed to sometime in March. PEL was set to kick off in late January, but financial and vendor issues have unfortunately plagued the event. Sources report that PUBG Corp has yet to completely provide stipends for Star Ladder, the tournament organizer, or the team set to compete.
Man, that is
unfortunate.
That is really unfortunate because of how well the North American League is going, or at least how much I'm enjoying the North American League.
League of Legends proved it first. Europe always comes 1 year later.
Well,
they should have waited a year.
I think some kind of international competition is built into the the format. So I don't know how this is going to end up affecting its first season.
Yeah, you're right. That could be a problem.
It could be.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. Vevictus Esports made headlines this week when they signed an all-female squad for their LCL League of Legends team. It should be a great moment for women in gaming, but there might be a dark side to this story.
Yeah, so they, the new LCL region, which is Russia's region, this is a team that they were apparently were going to try to sell their slot, and they weren't able to move it in time, so they ended up basically firing their roster and bringing on an all-female roster. That should be, of course you don't like to hear anyone got fired, but having an all-female representation in your league, that should be a great thing.
I feel like there's a butt coming.
There's a huge butt coming for this one. So upon looking more into the players, and again, this is just from what we're able to see, two of their players, we couldn't get the stats on, but the other three, they're in Diamond, Mid-Diamond, High-Diamond, and Platinum.
So not even anywhere near Challenger.
Yeah, that is not Challenger or Master tier.
This is just a publicity stunt then?
I mean, or worse. In addition, they only have a week to prepare. They have their first game next week.
Oh, no.
Yikes.
I would love to say, like, this is going to be great, that, you know, they're going to come onto the scene and be awesome, and they could. I admittedly don't know. But it doesn't look like they're being set up to succeed.
No, it's this team wanted to get rid of that spot, and so they're effectively tanking. They're generating some good press that they can for themselves, and then tanking so the price will drop and they can offload it to somebody.
Well, to mention, in the future, should another female gamer be signed somewhere, people could eventually be like, but why? Look what Vevictus did.
Worse if they don't do well, then all of a sudden it's gonna be a worse fall for just even the idea of all female gamers.
Well, because then they become a punchline too.
Right, that's the thing. It's not even so much that they're Diamond or Platinum. Them. You could overcome that. My thing is that they have a week to get ready play.
Yeah.
That no team would succeed at. And, like, don't get me wrong, Cloud9 was ripped straight off the ladder, and they became one of the most successful squads to ever play LCS.
Sure.
Granted, they were from much higher up on the ladder, and they had more time to prepare, though. When I look at this, this is something that screams a publicity stunt to me, and I think that really sucks because getting to report on, an all-female League of Legends team is going to be competing in one of the franchise leagues, that should be an amazing story. That should be my favorite story I've gotten to report all year, especially given the year Riot has had when it comes to women.
Yeah.
Like, that should be a great story. And now I look at this and I'm like, oh no, is this just going
to
be...
They're throwing them to the wolves is what it feels like.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I'm tuning in this week, and I guess if nothing else, it succeeded in that. I'm going to watch the LCL region this week to try and see what happens, but I don't have a lot of hope.
You're going to cover your eyes and watch through, broken fingers.
I hope the opposite happens and they end up smashing everybody.
That would be great. I would love to see that.
It'll be 12 minutes on our show next week if they do, I promise.
Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Are you going to be watching the LCL? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Ahead next, last weekend played host to the OWL Community Countdown. We'll give you all the details ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
And welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Radio 1300 AM in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Fox Sports 910 AM in Richmond, Virginia. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got tons of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get them. That's over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Last weekend played host to the Overwatch League Community Countdown, aka the preseason that wasn't a preseason. While a lot of people were excited to get their first glimpses of their favorite teams and indeed all of the new teams being added in Season 2, instead, they got something a little bit different.
Yes, the hashtag Community Countdown, which, as you said, should have been, you know, used to sort of hype everybody up for the season, ended up being marred down in debate or even worse, indifference, as the teams took to the stage for their scrims. And
now, before we get too far, we got to lay out the fact that these were scrims.
Yes,
and they were
scrims
advertised
as such
scrims between these teams that were supposed to be sort
but
of.
But even in scrims, you know, scrims are there to practice and try new things. And what, you know, we were basically treated to is what people called memeing. You know, six DPS coming out, or people not really trying. Supports playing tanks, tanks playing DPS, DPS playing supports. Like nobody
was
doing what they
were.
No one took it seriously.
Exactly.
Okay, so
what would you have?
Well, yeah, that's my question, is
why
would anyone who is actually competitive take an iota of this seriously?
And that's where the big sort of debate and split came from,
yep,
is that you saw the community all the way up to the commissioner himself,
yep,
that voiced so much displeasure about how this turned out. They wanted to see all these teams play on meta. Everybody play.
Why?
Everyone's proper position.
You're going to see that. You're going to see that
in less than a week.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the part that really sort of gets to me is both sides seem to agree, yes, don't show anything, but then the side that wanted you to be serious is like, you can still be serious and play your roles and not show anything, to where I completely disagree. I don't know if any of you guys recall, Norris, I bet you do, mm-hmm, in a match between, it was the Gladiators and Houston, where Jake was hiding in a corner on Tracer. Somebody walked right by him, and then Surefour came up on Widow and got one clip by Jake, and they said, after the map, that wasn't a strat that Surefour had employed. Jake just said, we noticed that on that map, he just tended to use that spot a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the type of things that even small things, if you're playing your normal roles, you can give away.
And listen, no traditional sport is their preseason synonymous with great quality of play.
No.
Now,
you get a lot of the second string, third string playing.
Right.
You
so,
know?
So while no one's trying to win, people are taking it seriously because you do have second and third stringers that are trying to play for their spot on the team.
Yeah, and that's true, but that's the same. That doesn't translate
but the
to esports in a one-to-one
chart,
fashion.
The depth chart is not as a big a factor in Overwatch as it would be in football or even basketball.
Yeah, Nate Nanzer actually tried to come out and specifically talking about this argument is like, you know, miss me with that stuff because you don't get like the catcher playing different roles or your quarterback, you know, playing left tackle.
Well, first of all, that's wrong, especially in something like baseball where you can have certain players like Brandon Inge who have played like seven different positions.
Well, and not everything and correlates like, from traditional sports to esports.
But like in spring training, that's when you do that kind of stuff.
But if you don't even have a second string, how do you do that? How do you do that without giving literally all of your strategy away?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, that's really the major thing. It is almost none of the teams would have a full second string worth
exactly
of players.
No.
You have your starting six plus maybe one,
seven,
two, three at most, I think, is one team has three.
Yeah, like the only team that would have been able to do it would have been London last year for about 6 months.
Well, even teams now that do have a full 12, like the Shock, have 12 players, but only three of them are actual tanks. Like most of them are like DPS and support.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on KBBL Sports 107.3 FM in St. Joseph, WSJM New Talk 94.9 FM in our home state of Michigan. We're currently talking about the OWL Community Day and why this ruffled so many feathers, why it rustled so many jimmies. There are a lot of people who were really upset about players coming out and not taking taking everything totally seriously. And again, this wasn't a preseason. Even in preseason play, nobody takes it seriously in professional sports. So I don't understand where the expectation even came from that people would be coming out playing on meta or trying to put on a really good show.
Well, if you remember back to the season one preseason, there was actually some legitimate competition.
There's a lot of it.
But it also took place, I think, almost a full month before the season started. They could have been in a different patch by then.
It was also a technical rundown,
too. Sure, that as well. I think where this comes is, I think a lot of people were just disappointed. Because even I tuned in, you're right, expecting to see competition. And when I didn't, was I a little disappointed? Sure. But I also understood why they wouldn't want to start basically, you know, tipping their hat to people. And it was still fun to watch.
I thought it was fun to watch for the simple fact that that's not what you're about to see for the next six
months.
Thank
you. Like, soon going up and getting 3Ks as NYXL comes out of the spawn.
Who was it that got like four hammer kills in a row or something like that?
Oh, jeez. I don't know that I saw that. That's hilarious.
Listen,
though,
I don't know why gamers are so fickle on timing, because, you know, the Diablo Immortal announcement came down to, well, it was the last announcement of the show. And I feel like if they had done this exact event either mid-season,
in the All-Star break,
directly after the postseason, it would have been really well received.
You know, the biggest shame to me, too, is on that first day when there was one match left to go, Florida versus Houston, that's when Nanzer came out, basically said that he also was disappointed that we didn't see a higher level of competition between them, and that they made the change that from then on, instead of scrims, they're all going to be mystery heroes. And the reason that sucked is because Houston all day were talking about all the crazy comps they were going to try. The John Cena melee only comp, the ultimate Symmetra comp, the Omnic Crisis comp, where they're all robots. And then they couldn't even do that because now they had to do mystery heroes.
And that's the type of fun stuff that you want to see. Like, let these players have fun and actually enjoy playing the game. And if the next time I see somebody talking about, like, oh, these players need to play on meta because they're supposed to be the highest standard and the example, let me remind you of something called Rock and Jock Basketball back in the day on MTV. Or what is that other thing where you had trampolines on the floor where you could jump on the... Sports is a show. It's entertainment. Let these people entertain you, and then we can get to the real season.
And for people saying that they weren't taking it seriously, I think that they were taking this seriously. I think they were seriously trying to entertain us, because we're about to get, what, 4 or 5 months of, like, the highest level of competition.
Well, yeah, that's why it's so weird that Nanzer would come out and say, like, that he was disappointed as well. Like, you went very far out of your way to never call this the preseason.
Yeah.
So why are you, like, then letting yourself be on the hook for the fact that it wasn't treated like a preseason? You called it the community countdown. You laid out a bunch of cool events that everyone wanted to see. Like, you did good.
Yeah.
Stick to it. Stick to your guns on that one, dude.
I don't know why Nanzer's being a little bit of a wet blanket there, but listen, we want to hear from you. Did you enjoy the community countdown? Why or why not? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And we really do want to hear from you on this. That's going to be it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Make sure you tune in tomorrow when we'll ask our social media followers who their favorite black esports or gaming personality is. And join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.